Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. Oh, it's Wednesday. You know what that means. All three of us are back together, and this is another episode of your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. It's Wednesday. How's everybody doing? I could be running my mouth and going on and on and on and on and on, but I'll save that for the rest of the podcast. Of course, you know, I cannot do this by myself, although I'll try. It just ain't as fun. It's fun watching Scotty D and B-Live go back and forth, bicker, argue, and do all this fun stuff. And Scotty showing the poop emoji, in case you can't see. It be like that sometime. I have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Interesting First, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. He is the man down there at the Shared Studios. He is the almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? I was just looking at my screen and my background is backwards. There it goes. Should fix that quickly. That describes exactly how my life is right now in the world of sports. Ass backwards. I'm gonna do this. I told myself I'm gonna woosah. I'm gonna go ahead and buy humbug because it's that season. And I'm not even gonna fight with Scotty D this week. I'm not even gonna do it. I'm gonna let him have it because you know what? Fighting with him ain't done me nor my sports teams no good all throughout the season. But I'm gonna be all right.
Congratulations on the big volleyball win.
Shut
that's
up.
That's exciting.
Shut up. Shut up. I know it.
Shut up. Just introduce.
We did it. We won. We won the big volleyball tournament.
Just introduce him. I told you I'm not gonna fight. I'm not gonna do it.
Be live. You know how things in the You know how things in the a group chat goes. It's subject to be used on the next episode of Sports Bros Podcast. And
I didn't even respond to him in the group chat because I was like, nope. I know what he's trying to do. I'm not gonna do it.
This is hilarious.
I'm gonna see how far he can go without me responding. Go ahead, introduce him.
And he is the other guy. He is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania, student, astute at Waynesburg. Is it Waynesburg State University, Scotty D?
Waynesburg University.
Okay, Waynesburg University. He is the man, the dude, Scotty Cum Laude at Waynesburg University. The one, the only, the money man, Scotty D.
And since there's no place to go, Yellow snow.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Time for Sports Bros Podcast. Here we go.
Scotty D's happy.
Because my boy, Dak, my favorite player, is coming through in the clutch like he always does. Here we go. In my defense, I honestly didn't know what that thing you sent me last night about the volleyball until I saw the headline. There was no name on that picture, like champions. I didn't even know. Was it volleyball or was it soccer?
Nope. I'm not responding.
What did Clemson win last night?
It was, all right, I'll go ahead and say it. They won the national championship in soccer. That's what they did.
Soccer, okay, soccer, yeah. Soccer. I'm sorry, I said volleyball. I meant soccer. I know I did not. I swear I did. No, I did not. I knew it was one of the fall sports. So you didn't do it on purpose.
So you accidentally pissed me off. This dude off the chain.
Let me tell you then.
In all sincerity, congratulations. The school that you root for is soccer team won a tournament. It wasn't volleyball. It was soccer. Wow. And I did not know when you sent that yesterday that soccer season was even still going. College sports. I didn't realize that. So I apologize for my ignorance. And here I am offering a sincere apology or a sincere congratulations that we did it. We won the big soccer tournament.
All right, let's go ahead.
Our Clemson Tigers did it.
All right, enough about Clemson, enough about championships, enough about soccer. We got a lot to talk about in the world in the NFL.
I'm gonna post this picture on our page in our group where it clearly says 2023 Men's Soccer National Championship. It says it clear as day.
It doesn't say Clemson on it.
It has a tiger paw on the bottom right. It's in orange.
And with that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into it, the top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order.
You said you weren't going to argue with me.
All right, Woosai, we got you guys calmed down and everything. Since you guys are in an argumentative mood, let's go ahead and talk about it. There were several upsets in the world and the NFL, but there's one in particular that stood out, the one involving the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs that stopped an eventual game-winning touchdown and a highlight to Travis Kelce's career. And a lot of people are talking about the play where Kadarius Toney lined up offsides then didn't check in, and then Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes had the audacity, the nerves, but you know what? You shouldn't let the officials take over the game and have control and predict the outcome. Fellas, I'm going to start with y'all, man. What y'all think about it?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
Patrick Mahomes had every right to be upset with the officiating last week. He had a receiver get mugged on the 5-yard line and it didn't get called. Mm-hmm. He should have been mad about that. This week, the dude lined up off sides and did it, evidently, all game long. How many times have you ever seen a penalty where a defensive player lines up in the neutral zone, they throw a flag and they say, oh, he's got a free play? Since when is it the official's responsibility to tell some lame-brained wide receiver that you're lined up, your foot is past the football, your body is past the football? They teach you that in fifth grade. Whenever you start, here's the line of scrimmage. Wherever the ball is, you're on the backside of it. You can't be ahead of it. It doesn't matter if maybe some official before gave you a warning. It's not the official's responsibility. You're the paid professional. You're looking at it. You're 5 feet from the football looking at it. You can't figure out I have to be behind it. I go to high school football. I went to 12 consecutive weeks of high school football this past year. And almost every time I watch the receiver on the high school wide receiver get out to the edge and turn and look at the official and point at him and give him a thumbs up to find out to make sure if he's offside, and I see an official nod his head. That's not what this dude did. This dude was his face in the ball. He lined a pass ball and he's not in high school. Be a pro. Catch the ball on opening night against Detroit when it's thrown to you. And in this national spotlight, Toney is the one that ruined his play in the end of the game, not the officials. And it was a great play. It was a play that was going to be remembered and celebrated for how awesome it was. And by the way, I don't believe it was planned out. I think it was Kelce improvising. Regardless, the official didn't do that to ruin the game. He threw the flag immediately upon the snap. He didn't wait and find out the outcome and then try to job the Chiefs over. Mm-hmm. You have to be smart. This is football. And every week I'm mad at somebody for doing something stupid, blocks in the back and pre-snap violations. This was a stupid thing that the receiver did. And I believe Andy Reid and Mahomes are just more frustrated by the mounting losses than about the officiating. And they were just lashing out because it was clearly a very fair penalty to be called. Be live.
This is what I'm gonna do, because there was a lot of upset. There was a lot of panties in a wad. Are we allowed to say that anymore?
What?
With panties in a wad. I don't know if that's gender neutral at this moment. I'm sorry.
I think wadded panties is still valid.
Okay, because that's exactly what was going on. You know who I blame? I blame Brittany Mahomes. I blame his wife. Because clearly, this is pent-up aggression. This is pent-up. This ain't This ain't just this week. This is pent-up from weeks of last week especially. Scott D, to piggyback off your point, oh, yeah, I'd be mad about last week. Because, yeah, that was P.I. if there ever was P.I. and it didn't get called. This week, yeah, dude was offside. You know why I blame Brittany Mahomes? Because instead of consoling and comforting your husband after a hard-fought loss, et cetera, she's too busy choreographing hand high fives and hand gestures with Taylor Swift. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I saw it, and I was like, you know what? These heifers need to go somewhere. I can't say that on the air. I can't call them heifers.
Well, I've seen some programming where the word heifers was used, so we should be
I'm just, here's the thing. You don't let the refs determine the game. And who says y'all would have got the 2-point conversion anyway? At the end of the day, or is that, you know what? I got the 2 weeks maybe mixed up. I look at it this way.
Yeah, that was last week. They would have taken the lead this week.
Okay. Either way, you don't let the refs determine. And it was clear as day. Here's the thing. This week, it wasn't even a judgment call. Bro, you line up where you're supposed to be lined up. And he was like, nope. And
he blocked the official's line to the ball. That's why he threw the flag.
Yeah, he couldn't even get the ball. But that's not a dead ball foul. And you have a chance to adjust yourself. Look there. Oh, my bad. Let me take a step back. And then you're good to go. And then Kadarius Toney ends up being the hero. But nope. He can't get the simple basics of football down right. He can't catch, and he can't line up on the right way. That dude about to get traded so fast, it's going to make somebody's head spin. And who's going to pick him up? Probably the Carolina Panthers, because they would do some dumb stuff. My bad. Ooh.
Speaking of Panthers, don't worry, Carolina fan. Help is on the way. You're going to have the number one pick this year.
Oh, shut up.
Next year.
Oh yeah, you won't have it. That's right. You trade it. My bad. I'm sorry.
We got fleeced. We got finessed by Chicago.
Strike 2. We ain't even 10 minutes in the show. You're already on strike 2. Do it again. Say something out of your mouth that you know. Eddie Cool just Amtrak.
I'm with the. Somebody was like, "Why are people so mad about this?" I'm like, "Look, there's no conversation." You can clearly see, of course, here's the thing about what people, whether they realize or not, these yellow lines and blue lines that we see on TV, they're for presentation purposes to the audience, to us.
Guess what, people? The football players can't see those lines at all.
Yeah, football players can't see those lines. They cannot see those lines. Even when I did high school football, I'm not drawing no lines, no darn field. So it's the classic case of...
Eddie, hold on.
What?
When me and you went to high school, they didn't have those lines. We old, bro. We
old.
Talk about Scotty D and when he was in school and black and white. We're not.
Here we go. As I was saying,
leather helmets.
I think Uncle Matt's had the leather helmets with no.
You guys are horrible. So, anyways, like I was saying,
it's been a long time since I've been on Uncle Max. It's been a while. Yeah. So, I had to get one out of my system. See, that was pinned up from a long time ago. I love you.
Poor Uncle Max.
Poor Uncle Max. His team should be in the playoffs, but that's a whole nother situation within itself. So I ain't got no sympathy for him. Alabama snuck in.
Wow.
I said what I said. My bad.
Anyways, like I was saying.
Anybody can get it this episode. Just to let you know. Anybody can get it.
As I was saying, the line,
I bet JR is somewhere right now crying because his ego.
Will you let Eddie talk?
That's what I'm waiting on. I'm just keep interrupting. He's going to keep going. Anyways, like I was saying, those lines are for the presentation purposes for those that watch it on national television or worldwide television or illegal streaming services, however you consume your football. So you just have to have the wherewithal and have to have that mental awareness. Okay, there's a ball. the ball, my foot needs to be behind this ball. I need to check in with the ref. It's just like, and the thing about it is, Tony, he can't blame it on being a rookie. He can't blame it on a rookie mistake. Like, you are a pro. That's what you learn. That is wide receiver 101. I've seen numerous sports groups where people are like, oh, man, this should have been called. It should have been called. Look, the rules is the rules. Whether they're in your favor or against your favor, they have to get called. And the thing about it is, that's football 101. I played defensive line in high school, and I knew, hey, your helmet, don't let your helmet cross the plane of the tail end of that football, because that's offside. You got to know how to line up. It's just having that awareness and knowing where you're at. And yeah, you just can't do stuff like that, Kadarius Toney. In the words of Scotty D, do better. And speaking of upsets, fellas, we had a lot of upsets this weekend. Some of these games are some things that make you say, But as far as upsets, fellas, which upset stands out the most from this past week?
I'm going to go ahead and go first. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way real quick. What upset stands out the most for me this weekend? My fantasy football. All three of them. This is insane. I'm not understanding. Tua Tagovailoa, decides this is going to be the first time in 21 games he's not going to throw for a passing touchdown. Great. The last game of the regular season for my fantasy football. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Tyreek Hill gets hurt in the first quarter, and he's been carrying my team, and I need him the most. But Let me try this out. Let me stay on topic. Stay focused and stay vigilant. The upset of the week came on Monday night, and I'm talking about it. The Miami Dolphins. Bro, I turned the game clean, smooth off because they were up by 2 touchdowns with less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I turned it off because, A, Tua had no reason to throw the ball anymore. There goes my fantasy. Tyreek Hill had no reason to catch the ball anymore. There goes my fantasy. Only thing they're going to do is run the ball with Raheem Mostert, which I was facing against in this one league that I'm talking about. That fantasy is over. So why am I watching this game anymore? Because I really don't have any vested interest. So I was like, whatever is whatever. Then I go back to watch SportsCenter later on in the evening, and they said Tennessee won. How, Sway? How? Miami, what are you doing? These are the games that matter. This, you win this game, you're the number one seed in the AFC. Now you're letting teams creep back in. You're letting the Buffalo Bills that are hot. I'm just letting you know right now. I think Buffalo's gearing up in the right direction, especially after a game win after the went beating the Chiefs that we just talked about. The Bills are trending in the right direction. Boy, Miami, you did not need to lose this game because you're going to mess around. You're going to mess around. Not only lose the division and end up having to go on the road, which Miami is a nice, comfortable place in December. You don't want to travel. You don't want to be on the road. Miami, you had a chance to close that game out, and you did not.
Upset. Well, not only that, and I know you were pouting and missed the end of it, but even after giving up the lead, they had the ball with plenty of time to come down, and all they needed was a field goal. And on their last series, they had 2nd and 3 and couldn't convert. They couldn't get 3 yards just to move the chains. And that's disappointing to me because I know Tua is a pretty good young quarterback, and I was expecting a little bit better than that on that final drive. I thought he could at least move the sticks. I mean, they even had enough time to throw the ball into the middle of the field. I mean, I know they were trying to get to the sidelines, but they still had sufficient time to get into field goal range. They were 25 yards away from it, and on 2nd and 3, they threw like a little side pass, a little, you know, screen pass to the side, and it was not good. I was not impressed with that for a team that has been impressive offensively. But to me, the absolute worst loss for a team that's trying to make a move here was the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night losing to New England, because New England has shown they have absolutely nothing to offer this year. That is a team that is flat, untalented, unskilled, uninspired. and they went into Pittsburgh to face a Steelers team who was angry because they had just lost 4 days earlier to a 2-win team on their own field. And now another 2-win team shows up, and surely that's not going to happen again, right? And the Steelers looked like an absolute disaster. And I know Kenny Pickett didn't play, and they went back to Trubisky. But Trubisky at least has some in-game experience to be able to beat a 2-win team, one would think. And the Steelers looked lousy.
Trubisky didn't give up 21 points to the Patriots.
No, they didn't. And that's been the cornerstone of the Steelers' run. The reason the Steelers are even have a winning record is because of how good the defense has been. And they got hit in the mouth in the first half. Better in the second half because the Patriots did not score after the break. But
they get hit in the mouth. They got zapped in the mouth.
They got zapped. Bailey Zappi came in and had a very respectable first half. Zeke Elliott had a decent game. But again, I mean, it was 21-10 at the halftime, and Steelers offensively could only muster 8 points in the second half. They went for it on a 4th-and-2 and didn't get it in a time that I thought they should have kicked a field goal. I mean, there's a lot of second guessing whenever teams are in a skid like this, but it's starting to feel like, and I just am telling you because I live in the area and I hear the speculation, it feels like there's a growing pressure that this could be the end of the line for Mike Tomlin. Eh. Mike Tomlin has 1 year left on his contract. So do you extend him? Because you need an offensive coordinator. So do you bring an offensive coordinator in to a lame duck coach? Or do you just start over and say, all right, Mike, it's been 17 wonderful years. It might be time for you and us to part ways. And Mike Tomlin will not be unemployed longer than 5 minutes. I mean, he'll either be a coordinator somewhere or the head coach of Carolina very, very quickly.
I will absolutely.
I'll take him.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, he's
power. We didn't get him. I'm so mad about that.
He's definitely going to be a hot come on. Now, I don't know. The Rooneys have been reluctant to make head coaching changes. I mean, I'm 51 years old, and I've seen 3 head coaches for the Steelers. The Browns could have that usually in a season.
They do.
So the Rooney family does not like to make changes as a head coach. But this game was very telling in that it just in the post-game press conference, Tomlin was very short. I mean, he's not rude with reporters, but he was just – but you could just see there that this is weighing on him now, like I haven't seen before. He just looked like almost like a defeated guy trying to stand up in the face of adversity. And sometimes it's just time. Sometimes it's time for a change. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But that was probably, I think, the worst loss of all the upsets of the week.
I think for me, it would have to be the same one. I think we can all agree Steelers, Patriots, or B-Live said Dolphins losing to the Titans. You said that right, B-Live?
But yeah, quick question. Tepper, owner of the Panthers, doesn't he have Pittsburgh ties? Wouldn't it like?
I'm trying my best not to pay David Tepper any attention right now until he starts getting some things right, until he starts doing some football-ish, I'm not paying David Tepper no attention. He's the most impatient owner in all of sports. 6 coaches in 6 years, you cannot establish a winning culture. You cannot do that. Why are you so quick to hire and fire? Hey, I'm going to get this big contract, but in hindsight, you really got 1 year. So you really got 1 year to make sure. There's no way in hell that you can turn around a team in 1 year unless you're doing the job that D'Amico Ryans is doing in Houston, which is a whole different set of circumstances and situations. But David Tepper, you got to let some of these things play out. You got to let them play out.
And yes, another reason for me to be upset at the money man, Scotty D, David Tepper was born in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, he does have Pittsburgh ties. So, yeah, Scotty D, we blame you 100%.
It is all.
Take down your background and all of that. I don't even want to see the city of Pittsburgh. Three Rivers, Acrisure, all of it. PNC Park, I don't care. You know that Shohei Ohtani's making twice the payroll that Pittsburgh Pirates pay their players? All right, cool.
Wow.
Eddie, cool. What were you talking about when it came?
Not this year.
Oh, they increased their – oh, true. We'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I'm yammering.
But B Live, no, you're not yammering. That's a perfect segue. Let's talk about it. Shohei, Ohtani Shohei is gonna get a bunch of doggone money to the tune of what, 700 million dollars.
And
I'm trying to figure out where I went wrong in life, but go ahead. But go ahead. Yeah. So what do we think about that?
Allow me to opine on this.
Okay.
Because not only is it $700 million for a 10-year contract, I'm gonna go ahead and call him Bonilla Shohei.
Yeah, he makes Bonilla's contract look silly.
Very.
Silly, because it's deferred. My man said, I've got endorsements, commercials, all of that. I don't need the Dodgers money right now. So you know what? Go ahead and pay me $20 million for the next 10 years and pay me $680 million.
Wow.
The following years when I'm not even on the team anymore. Because you know why? Because I don't want y'all to have to pay the extra competitive balance tax, i.e. the luxury tax that they would have to pay. Because you know baseball does not have a cap, but they do, they will tax you if you spend over X amount of dollars. And yes, $70 million for one player is over that X amount of dollars, especially when you got contracts like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman on the payroll on top of that. So Shohei Ohtani is making $2 million a year for the next 10 years.
It's a lot of money.
And then $680 million for the next 10 years. From 2034 to 2043, he will make $68 million a year when he's not playing with the team.
That's just a lot of damn money.
That's a lot of money to be chilling. That man.
Scotty D, where are you at with Ohtani making a grossly insane amount of money?
Here we go.
I think insane is maybe the perfect word for this, because if you pay him this contract, and I think it's too long, talking about the 10-year, $700 million. I think these are too long. But now you've turned this into you're going to be overpaying him in 2040. Hmm. I mean, that seems like so far. Like that feels like that's the time when we're going to be driving cars around in the air. I mean, it feels like Jetson's time. That's how far off that seems to me. To make that commitment, I mean, I think the number was high to begin with, but now to defer it all and be paying that kind of money, you're still going to be fielding a team in the 2030s and 2040s, and you're going to be paying the guy who's not going to be on the team. He's going to be the highest guy probably on the, it doesn't make, I, this is mind blowing to me. When I saw the contract to begin with, I said, that is a bad deal because that is too long and it's too much for one person, There are multiple players you can get. This guy's already not going to play, not going to pitch this coming year because of an arm issue. So now you're not, who knows what that future is going to look like as far as you're paying him all this extra because you think you're getting a 2-for-1 deal. You're paying one guy to be two players, and you might not have that going forward. We already know that you don't have it next year. Who's to say how good of a pitcher he's going to be in 2-3 years from now? He's going to be an aging arm by the end of this contract. Nah, it's okay. We're only going to give him $2 million a year. But then whenever he's not playing anymore, we're just going to go ahead and eat up our luxury tax balance by paying him $68 million a year when he's 68 years old. It doesn't make any sense, man. This is, I can't understand the rationale. I know you're trying to win now, but that is a big time mortgage on the future whenever you're eating up that kind of money. I mean, as a Pirate fan, I can't even fathom that kind of money for a team, let alone one single player. The Pirates are saying they're going to increase their payroll this year up into the $50 million. Well, Shohei Ohtani in 2043 will be making more than I think it's overpayment. He's a good player, but he's not like the only person on the planet that's capable of hitting 300 and capable of hitting 40 home runs. There are other guys right now that are like 0 years old that'll be able to do that at a lower salary in the year 2040. It's too much for one person. And I texted you guys. This has me concerned. You know, I'm a Pirate fan, but you know, I also pull for the Yankees, and the Yankees just landed Juan Soto, who has 1 year remaining on his deal. What kind of contract is he going to be commanding now? This dude's going to be getting, he's going to be looking at a 15-year billion-dollar contract, I think. I think the word billion is not that far. It's closer to us than the end of Ohtani's contract, I think, for a player to sign a billion-dollar. I think George Jetson in the flying around the cars, that's further off than a billion-dollar contract. And I think Soto is going to want that from the Yankees, and I pray that they don't do something as silly as that, because they're still paying the penalty for Giancarlo Stanton for another 4 years, and that's overpayment. You can't pay baseball players into their late 30s and 40s big money. You can't do it.
You know what I think we should do? We should take some time, and I don't know if we can, and I don't know if it's public information or public knowledge, but we should take a look at like the Major League Baseball rosters, or like rosters between baseball, football, between the major sports, and see players on there that haven't played and are not active, and how much that these organizations are still playing these paying these players. You got a lot of players on the payroll. Matter of fact, there was a guy that I read a while back. He was on the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think he played his last snap damn near like over 30 years ago. And he was, and I guess they still had his rights, and he was still on the roster. So I'm like, well, does that mean he's a Super Bowl champion? Like,
yeah, send him a ring.
Hey,
yeah, send him a ring. Yeah. Even though he's 55, I mean, if you just released him, okay, I think you might. You know what? I'm gonna have to find that. I'm gonna post that in the Sports Bros family group. Yeah, that is crazy. It'd be interesting to see like how many people, you know, are still getting contracts and not doing nothing, sitting around the house and, you know, eating food and just picking boogers and doing nothing, or just looking like Bartolo Colon and stuff like that. So anyways, with that being said, we've got a baseball field and a football field. And fellas, looking at my phone because I've yet to get the watch. Guess what time it is?
What time we got?
Oh, what's going on?
I'm glad you asked, Black Snow. It is time, once again, for our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. Almost lost there for a second. And with that being said, hey, yo, Butt, hit it. Choices of the Voices coming at you after this, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live with the SmackDown Fist, like the SmackDown said a long time ago. We'll be back, y'all.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the Choices of the Voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful land. Everybody, hold your ears. So lovely, Miss Button, for introducing our favorite portion of the show, The Choices of the Voices. Go a little something like this. We ask the question, you give us the answer, and we talk about it right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. With that being said, Scotty D, what's on tap for this week's Choices of the Voices?
So this week we asked to cite a situation in sports that you felt was just really, really unfair. Something you said, hey, that's not fair. And that's and Eddie Cole, what did the people tell us when it came to this situation?
All right, let's see what they had to say. All right, Tony Bogan, he gives us two of them, and he goes as follows. He says, I can think of a couple. The rain delay before extras in Game 7 of the World Series, the then Cleveland Indians had all the momentum and would have likely walked it off in the 10th with a dub. 2016 4-400, when a caution was called for a car multiple laps getting loose with 16 laps to go. Carl Edwards was the highest of the championship four and won the race off pit road. On the ensuing green flag, he went to block Joey Logano and end up wrecking, costing him a potential championship. He later retired in January of the following year. And he wanted Jimmy to win his seventh, but not like that. And he has one more from the Indy 500 way back in 2002. There was a late race caution, and Paul Tracy was the leader when caution lights came on, but the race officials declared that Helio Castroneves was the winner, was the leader, and the eventual winner. So Tony gave us two from the world of auto racing and one for baseball. Shout out to Tony Bogan, all right? The best name of the game, JoJo Comfort, he says, there are quite a few I can think of, but one tops my list. Although it wasn't on the highest stage of the sport, the fifth down game between Colorado and Missouri in 1990. As a result, Colorado went on to split the national championship with Georgia Tech. All right? And Joel Turner just said, roll tide. Yep. You like it? I love it.
You know what, Joel, our agent extraordinaire, hate to put you in the penalty box, but come on, bro.
Yeah, you got to fall up in there, player. You have definitely got to fall up in there. All right. And then James Klein, he said the 1994 Penn State, because of Cordell Stewart's Hail Mary. And Josh Baker, he said, I don't think this discussion can exist without mentioning Tim Donahue. Wow. Yeah, the ref that cost a lot of people his money and eventually lost his job. So shout out to Tony, JoJo Comfort, Joel Turner, James Klein, and Josh Baker for this participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. All right, Scotty D, what's your answer for this week's Choices?
Well, two of them that I really got to me, and both of them are homer answers, but when Ezekiel Elliott got suspended by Roger Goodell for an investigation that showed absolutely nothing, went nowhere, that was completely unfair. I hate that, and I'll never forgive Roger Goodell for that one. And a second one, in the spirit of wearing a Pitt shirt here today, Larry Fitzgerald deserved the Heisman Trophy, and they gave it to that the goofy quarterback from Oklahoma, White, whatever his name was. White.
Jason White.
Jason White. Yeah, Jason White, Josh White, Jimmy White, whatever his name was. He was not the proper Heisman Trophy winner. Everybody knew Larry Fitzgerald was getting the ball, and he got it, three touchdowns a game. He averaged 1,000 yards a game that season, and he did not get the Heisman Trophy. And that was completely unfair. He averaged 1,000 yards a game. That was a miscarriage of justice.
multiple episodes, because it's near and dear to my heart. And I still ain't gonna get over it. Every time I see the Ravens play football and Lamar Jackson, they talk how great he is and everything, I still ain't getting over the fact of, I mean, Sky D just mentioned Larry Fitzgerald. So I'm the Deshaun Watson. I'm not getting the Heisman over Lamar Jackson. I mean, you have to play football the entire season, right? Not just the first 7 games. Great games that he lit up the world and everything, but the last 4 or 5 games, and on top of that, Deshaun Watson beat Lamar Jackson head to head. Come on, bro. I know I need to get over it. I know I need to, but every time somebody brings up the Heisman, even mentioned during the Heisman presentation this year, that they even had George Rogers from Columbia, the Gamecocks, had him.
Heisman Trophy winning running back George Rogers. Put some respect on his name. Put
respect on nothing, because Deshaun Watson should be right there with him. And I don't know. I ain't never going to get over it until Clemson has a Heisman winning player. That was our year. I mean, we won it all. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, Tony Bogan mentioned 2016 earlier and a couple of his points of his answers. So 2016 sits right there with me as well. So, yeah, give my man his trophy. I mean, he's got his guaranteed money, but I know they can't go back or whatever. But I ain't getting over it. I'm just not going to get over it. And then I'm going to sneak in the Tuck rule for Thomas Edward Fitzpatrick Aloysius Brady III.
All of them.
Because, there's some Oakland / Los Angeles / Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, you know what? That's their new name. Like I did with the Washington Redskins football team, no name.
Commander Piglets.
Ridiculous, yep. Oakland slash Los Angeles slash Oakland slash Las Vegas Raiders. Ah. Get it together.
You said a mouthful.
Clemson will have their time, and the Tuck Rule will ever live in infamy of just blunders and what happened. And we're going to talk even more in length about referee blunders next week as, I think I jumped the gun. My bad. We haven't asked that yet.
Or as they call that, jumping the shark or something like that? Well, hopping the donkey, skipping the pony.
Whoopsie.
Some mess like that. But yeah, B-Live, I would have to say the Tuck Rule, because even as a Carolina Panthers fan, it doesn't.
You know what? As a Carolina Panther fan, let's just say it. The 2015 Super Bowl where Cam Newton just got massacred.
Yeah.
And all the headhunting that Von Miller did. Oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah. Let's throw that in there.
Yeah. Let's throw that in there. Yeah. All the no calls that Cam Newton got, where he was a big physical guy. Well, that's another story for another day. Let's just say that there was preferential treatment during that entire season. Some guys, Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers, would get calls, and he wouldn't because he's a bigger quarterback. He's still a quarterback. He's still throwing the ball. Treat him as such. All right, that's one where that whole season, including that Super Bowl, where Cam Newton got damn near every no call, and I can't stand it. And then the Tuck Rule, the damn Tuck Rule. Like, really, this is where we at with it. Like, it's an incomplete pass. And people go, well, it was snowing. Hey, look, if the ball goes forward and if the ball slips out, it's a fumble. A fumble is, a fumble is, and a fumble is. And I swear, it's like they kind of make up the rules as they go. I don't know. It's nuts. It's nuts. All right, we all got our choices in. Scotty D, B-Live, myself. all right, with that being said, what's on tap for next week's Choices of the Voices?
All right, in light of what we heard Mahomes and Andy Reid complaining, I'm going to throw this out there to you, our listeners, our followers. Has the NFL officiating actually gotten worse, or has technology just made it look worse by the fact that you can see more on TV now, you can see clearer, and the fact that social media gives us more opportunities to complain and therefore making it look bigger, just exposing a problem that maybe has always been there, but not quite as, hasn't been seen quite as much. So tell us what you think. Has NFL officiating gotten worse, or has technology made it seem worse? And that, Eddie Cool, will give us something to talk about next week.
I can already see the essays and the paragraphs now. So just to let y'all know, keep it at a minimum, 3 sentences maximum, because we're on time restraints. With that being said, it's been another edition of the Choice of the Voices. Coming up next, round of Pepper. B-Live, grab that grinder. Pepper, coming up next, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of Pepper.
All right, it's time for us to go home and get the hell up out of here. But before we go, we got a round of Pepper. Man, y'all know how we do it. 3 topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. Scotty D had to step away for a second because he is a scholar and he's got to do what he got to do to get that grade and make things happen for himself, all right? So you got B-Live and you got Eddie Cool, and hopefully this doesn't turn into an episode of the Nightcap and we be Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco. But nevertheless, Pepper, coming at you right here. On this day in history, back in 1997, the 63rd Heisman Trophy has been awarded, right? And it's been awarded to Michigan cornerback Charles Woodson. What a spectacular season that was. That was, Charles Woodson was a bad man. I remember being a young dude, watching him in South Carolina do things in Michigan, and I was like, I have to watch out for this guy. Over to you, B-Live.
And it's cool. For my first pepper point today, I got a treat for you.
Uh-oh, what you got?
I got a treat for you. Something a little bit different. And I'm going to try to indoctrinate this into a future episode.
Okay.
But we talked about Shohei Ohtani earlier and his $700 million contract. There was also a big money move this week in the golf world.
Ooh.
When it came to my man, John Rahm made the move from the PGA to the LIV Golf Tour. I thought there was a merger. So I'm wondering what's really going on. And so I actually reached out for my pepper point, and I'm going to bring on a good friend of mine here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. My man Tanner Port has his own report on what he thinks about the John Rahm signing to the LIV Golf Tour. Tanner, could you opine on what you think about what just happened?
All right. First and foremost, I'm like the number one LIV hater. So use that for context here. But what I will say is that I was surprised by this news, not in the sense that it happened, but that they were actively recruiting, you know, the former Masters champion, and that they would throw away $600 million. Why do I say that? Because by all indicators that this is, the PGA was ready to put this behind them. They had, you know, bended the knee per se, right? Congress is investigating this to basically say, okay, we got to make sure that this is on the up and up. And we were supposed to get some new format. And, you know, there was a lot of news that happened. So what this looks like is almost like a power move from the PIF that they just chunked a bunch of money at the Masters, you know, the last Masters champion to be like, hey, to hedge their negotiating power. But for what? it's funny in that sense to me, and that's why I'm just like golf clapping what I would call the greatest fleecing in professional sports history. And then top it off by Greg Norman with his smug face in the press conference looking like he did something that didn't get robbed. This is a robbery. Like, they're, but okay, fine. It's their money to just throw away, and my man just took it. You already see that it's not strengthening in their position, right? Because the backside of this, guys, is that nobody watches professional golf. Ratings are actually down. No, you can't even tell me how to watch a LIV match. So as it moves forward, it's like a waste of money. But if the guy's going to get it, I guess, like, there's the political side. Okay, fine. I mean, I got my own feelings about that. Ain't got nothing to do with this. But when you look at the Korn Ferry Tour and the talent that comes out of them and the talent on the PGA and how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour, the guys that go out there and get it out the dirt will be rewarded, because this is just a sideshow. So good on them. But, you know, I hope he keeps swinging, because he ain't going to win another major if he don't.
Man, whoo! That is something definitely to shake the foundation of the merger between the PGA Golf Tour and LIV. You got the PIF with the money, the Saudi money, and all that. Got the Arab money. But you know somebody that's staying put in the PGA Tour?
Who that?
Our very own Tony Finau is staying put. He got offers from the LIV Golf Tour. He said, nope. I'm saying right here with the PGA Tour. And so the Fino Watch continues right here at the Sports Bros Podcast. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Still waiting on Tony Finau to get that big one, all right? And B-Live, let's go ahead and keep the theme going. And on this day in 2010, the 76th Heisman, take a wild guess what went to, B-Live, the 76th Heisman 2010. I'm going to give you one hint.
Oh, that was Cam Newton's year?
Yep, that was Cam Newton's year. Mm-hmm.
I knew it was somewhere in the mix of things. Yep. And he went on to do his thing and bring the Carolina Heights Unknown. It was a beautiful thing. We miss you, Cam. It's okay. I know. It is what it is. But, yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy for Cam Newton. Post-career, he seems to have found his niche in the world of podcasting or content creator, if you will. His podcast, his YouTube channel, Funky Fridays, Fourth and One. Very, very entertaining. I like what Cam Newton does. I really does, man. Really.
One of his latest guests on his podcast does not have the best of luck when being on stage. You hear about Charleston White?
I'm gonna tell you right now. I watched that episode and I'm like, what are you? I get the reason why he put Charleston White on there, because Charleston White is a polarizing figure. He's very intriguing. And sometimes, you know, when it comes to the message, sometimes you have to look at the deliver of the message and the style of the message. Like, I get what Charleston White is doing, but it's different. But man, Charleston White had a lot to say. Ooh, he had a lot to say. Matter of fact, I got to go back and finish watching that episode, because I started last Tuesday and, Charleston White, that's...
Did you hear about what happened to Charleston White at one of his shows?
No, I saw a video, but what happened?
Ooh, yeah, he got jumped on stage. He was talking trash to a heckler. Heckler was downstage, now mind you. He wasn't on stage. And Charleston White decided to keep the heckler away from him by throwing a flower pot at him. And that just set off a rage. And then a couple people from the side came and put the paws on him. So it was, Charleston White is, he's something. Let's put it that way. He is something else. I still don't really know who the heck he is, but that's just me living in my little bubble that I could care less about half the people in the world right now. But that's me. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm old.
I'll just say he's a polarizing figure, and I'll leave it at that. And for people that want to know about Charleston White, take whatever as you may. It's your call. I'm not gonna tell you what to do or what not to do. Just take it. Just take it. All right. So be like, where we at now? Second Pepper Point, third. We have third Pepper Point now.
You're third.
Okay, be like. So this one hits close to home. As it involves Panthers tight end and former University of South Carolina Gamecock, Hayden Hurst. It was discovered, according to CNN, Carolina Panthers tight end diagnosed with post-traumatic amnesia, according to Hayden Hurst's father. And the report goes as follows, as provided by CNN. Carolina Panthers tight end Hayden Hurst has been diagnosed with post-traumatic amnesia. His father announced on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Wednesday. Hurst's father, Jerry, said he was diagnosed by an independent neurologist after the 30-year-old sustained a concussion during the team's Week 10 game against the Chicago Bears. Quote, slow recovery. Don't know when he'll be back, said his father. Prayers are appreciated. Post-traumatic amnesia is when a person forgets parts of what happened before or after an injury. On Wednesday, despite still being in concussion protocol, Hurst returned to practice in a limited capacity, a team spokesman told CNN. Hurst has missed the last three games. All right. And then he wrote on Twitter, I suffered a pretty nasty concussion against the Bears a few weeks ago and don't remember up to 4 hours after the game. While it's scary, it is not career ending. I'm starting my return to play this week, so fingers crossed I make it back for the last few weeks of the season. Hurst was drafted in the first round of 2018 by the Ravens. From South Carolina, he signed a three-year contract with the Panthers in the past offseason. He caught 18 passes, 184 yards, and a touchdown this season in his six-year career. He's played for the Bengals and the Falcons as well, too. Hayden Hurst, take care of yourself, man. Get well soon, man. Those brain injuries are nothing to play with. Yes, we know this is a rough and volatile sport, but Big Red, we're praying for the best for you. Over to you, B-Live.
Yeah, and just the fact of the matter, Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
Man, that is, whew.
Just that's the career that could have been, man.
Oh, I hate to end the show with another Panthers pepper, but this is the third and final pepper point, which you know, I come with the ridiculous, and I'm coming with what happened. You've heard a lot about the Carolina Panthers recently, about how abysmal this season is, about the firing of coach Frank Wright. about now you hear more about the assistant coaches fending for themselves, name dropping, and every man for themselves, and he did this and she did that, I didn't do it, trying to save their own job and all the other things. Well, the saga continues because now the offensive coordinator, who now is in charge of play calling again, Thomas Brown, his wife responded to someone on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. Still Twitter to me.
Yeah.
Hey, I type in twitter.com and it takes me to...
And it pops up. It pops up, yeah.
If you type in x.com, it goes to Twitter, but it's okay. They ain't changed domain names. But a fan on Twitter says, if we're keeping it a buck, Thomas Brown should be fired tomorrow. And this was after their performance this past week. Questionable play calling. And Thomas Brown's wife decided to jump on Twitter and responded, we are fired. We just have to stay behind because someone has to call the plays. If you guys know someone else to do for the next to do the play calling for the next 4 weeks, give Tepper a holler as if this is fun for us. So you're telling me in the midst of all the mess that the Carolina Panthers are going through, we also have a lame duck offensive coordinator that knows, I guess, that he's fired, but is just around to do what again?
Yeah.
I was watching the game. I was like, again, I don't know why I woke up to watch this game. But I was looking at the game, I was like, why do we look worse than we did before? Like, why is our play calling even worse? You figure it's because the guy that is calling the plays doesn't even want to be there?
Or is that an
indicator that he's not going to be there after the season?
Probably not.
Come on. When you think it couldn't get any worse, it actually got worse. It's Chris Tabor, the interim head coach, special teams coach. I mean, even though we have a former NFL head coach on our coaching roster.
Jim Caldwell?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, we have – I don't even know anymore, man. My Panthers are terrible.
B-Live is just not enjoyable. It's just not enjoyable. Even when I was home for Thanksgiving and tried to watch the game against the Titans, I was like, I can't make myself do it. I couldn't make myself do it. And that's bad when my professional football team, my franchise, damn near in my backyard, 4 hours northwest, and I can't try to, that's not good. That's not good.
I have no incentive whatsoever to watch pro football because my fantasy teams are all eliminated. Eddie Cool, I wish you the best of luck. You're still in the playoffs in our Sports Bros League. I am eliminated in all three of my leagues. My Clemson Tigers, they have one more football game against the Kentucky Wildcats. But, well, my Clemson soccer team are national champions, and my Clemson basketball team is undefeated at number 13 in the country. So let's keep it moving. Men's basketball, let's get it. Let's go. All roads lead to Dabo and Clemson. I bleed orange all day, every day. Do you know that the Clemson United, that's the name of their soccer team, won two national championships in the past 3 years?
I have no idea.
That's familiar. Sounds like what our football team did a few years back. You know, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Dawn Staley and the girls, they're just taking care of business as usual. They survived a close one against Alyssa Pilley in Utah this past Sunday, 69-78. And I think that's the closest that anybody has played them. And they are the number one team in the country, by the way. So LSU's looking a little shaky. They've lost one. And, man, if we can look.
Take care of business, man.
If we continue to take care of business, man, we'll be back. We'll be back. All right, that's it for a round of pepper. That's it for another episode of the Sports Post Podcast. And as always, you can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Before I go any further, just clip the description link. That's where we're at. We're all over the place. Shout out to this money man, Scotty D, out there taking them tests, making good grades. Shout out to the almighty B-Live for making things happen down there in favor of North Carolina. And, of course, I want to thank me. I want to thank me. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They're greatly appreciated now more than ever. Tis the season to be nice. Be good to people. Or if you're not nice, just try. This LA give a damn. There's enough going on in the world. It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. And B-Live says otherwise. Take us home, B-Live.
Bah, humbug.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
And we out. See you next week on the Sports Bros Podcast. Hey, it's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening. And as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.